WKC8YVF Mobile.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw.
Well, good evening, K8DAC-YVF Mobile. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening. I'm just getting out of work here, so headed home. Then we got the Radio Club's January meeting tonight.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I wish I had a way to get over that lunch. I'd attend one of your meetings there. That might happen this year, we're hoping. Okay, since the last talk to you there, I think we talked about the surgery I had here on New Year's Eve. Yeah, it went well. I got a lot more blood circulation in my right foot, so that's a good thing. And I seen the foot doctor yesterday, and that was a good report, too, for my foot. So I'm just out here playing radio. Got the Swan running here, just let warm up the shack. Real heavy out there. My phone says like 24, so I think we're in winter, over.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's one thing with the tube devices. They warm you up, or at least they'll give you off a little bit of heat. I know a couple of guys that used to have their shack out in their unheated garage and be out there in the winter with, you know, a portable heater or something, so that's not good. Mine's in the basement, although I don't heat the basement. I shut the vents off to the basement. Since we're not down there, not down there often at least, only when I'm on the radio or something, but I don't heat that. But yeah, where's your radio equipment at?
Very good, Casey, for idea. Well, Ron, what happened when we bought this house, a friend of mine, me and a friend of mine, we walled off the corner of the basement, made room for my stepson, fortunately, it's heater vent goes through the roof of the man cave now, so I do have one heating duct. I don't have it on all the way, just a crack, so it does keep the room better. But yeah, we walled it off, we put outlets in it, made it look like a room. So it really works really good there, but yeah, because the basement there, any heating duct in the basement, I just kind of shut off. But in here, in my man cave or my shack, I have it just cracked open, but it's comfortable. Over.
Okay. Yeah, there's two heating ducts in my basement, and one is in the main part of the room. I'll call it the rec room or main part of the basement. I have it sectioned off half of the house or half the basement. The length of it is the kind of the rec room, and there's a laundry room off of that I walled off. And then the other half is broken up into three parts. I have the utility room where all the furnace and hot water heater, freezer, and that is. I have a center room that was going to be my wife's clean room, which turned into a closed storage area, so that's where she stores all her clothes and other things. And then I have my wood shop on that side as well. So there's one heating duct in the wood shop area, which is closed off. There's one heating duct in the long part of the room. So one duct in the whole, basically on that side of the basement, makes it pretty cool down there. So if I'm down for a contest or something, I'll grab a little space heater and use that and heat me rather than heating the entire room down there.
QSL, yeah, you don't need to make consumers' energy more worse than what they are. Yeah, but like the heat vent in my radio shack is barely open, but it's comfortable either. Yeah, I was going to say, coming up here, boy, end of the month, it'll be winter field day. Well, I hope this year doesn't go faster than last year, but let's see what happens. Yeah, like I said, Ron, doing well. Good to talk to you there. And by the way, conditions here, I guess we got my phone said, yeah, 24 degrees. By the way, your copy full bars, by the way, here on the radio. I'm working, I think I got it on 10 watts or thereabouts, but really good copy on your mobile, so. But I'm assuming the roads are okay. I guess this morning it was kind of dicey out there. I guess somebody got killed in an accident on M33 and M65 eggs where it was. But, yeah, how was it this morning when you left for work? Over.
Main roads were fine. They were just wet. So the major Michigan roads, the M58, the M46, you know, those type of roads were good. State Street here in Saginaw was good. So I imagine, you know, like Euclid and Wilder and those up in Bay City were fine too. Secondary roads were a little slippery. They had plowed or salted parts. It wasn't all of it, I guess. So some of those were a little slippery. Expressway, one of the girls at work ended up, because we got caught by the train, two of us got caught by the train going into work on 13. So she seen the traffic back up, so she jumped on the expressway and she said, yeah, expressway was, one lane was a two-track basically, and the other lane was hadn't been touched. It was just all snow. So she said, yeah, expressway was pretty dicey this morning, but yeah, everything's cleared off, everything's dry, although all the roads are white with salt powder here at this point, but they're dry.
Hey, very good. Yeah, well, you know, she got held up by a dad burn train. Yeah, my buddy, by the way, my buddy sent me a video clip. He lives in Lapeer. He lives like, half a mile back from the Grand Truck mainline. I still call it Grand Truck, Ron. To me, it's Grand Truck. But he's seen an eastbound the other night. Just as it was getting dark, it was a CN diesel, a brand new Siemens Amtrak type locomotive that was letted for via rail, and six brand new cars fast as the coaches going from the coaches came from California, built new. The Siemens unit, it was built here somewhere, and I'm not sure where, but it's punch powered, and it's really quite the exotic diesel, and they were going. That's all the train was, a CN engine, the Via diesel, and six coaches. But the Via diesel was shut down dead in tow, but he went by and he said they're like brand new cars, and that's amazing seeing new equipment being built so late in date, but. Yeah, he said it went by there. It was going track speed, so that's pretty cool. You know me with passenger equipment. It's kind of neat seeing that equipment, though. But anyways, all right, that's all I got to report about that. Yeah, like I said, I'm feeling well, and I'm not doing too bad. Yeah, matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to check in on the e-cars that at 1 o'clock. So that hot water 101 I got gifted to me from that N2EDY. I'm going to work him tomorrow when he does that control. Yeah, he likes that rail. He's really glad I got it going. But I got three people to thank. Gary, WVICU, Roger, WJV, and let me see. I'm trying to think who else to help me out here. And even myself, I've done a little bit of work on it. But Gary and Roger was really neat hooking it up, getting it working there, because it was built originally not by my friend, but it was built, he bought it from a state of a silent key. And I don't think it was ever assembled, put together right, because on the audio tube for microphone audio, they had a plate lead and a grid lead crossed on the tube. That's not a good thing.
No, I guess not. I'm glad your procedure went well there. Everything worked out for you. Yeah, this morning's train had probably, I don't know how many where it started where I picked it up. The engines were already past the intersection, so I don't know how many were on it. But there had to be 75 to 100 cars on this train leaving out of Potter Station down here in Saginaw. And it was taking the route that curves up to go to Bay City. It goes along Saginaw River and in behind the foundry plant, and then heads north up towards Bay City on that line. So I don't know what was on it, but yeah, a couple of months ago I watched a train go through the intersection, and tail end went through, and then again I caught the engines. I happened to look over as I was headed to work on that same line, and the train had five locomotives on it. So five engines on it. I don't know what they were pulling. It didn't seem, they'd already cleared the intersection there on Washington, so by the time it circles around up to 6th Street, I said, well, it's not that long, but I'm thinking, wow, they have five engines of, I counted them as they went past, and it's kind of like, wow, that's quite a lot on it. Normally, they'll run one or two, but not five.
Well, I can explain that for you right now, sir. What they do, the train goes, at least Saginaw, Lake State Yard, when they get up to Bay City, they take the drawbridge across to their yard in North Yard, which is over in Essexville, across the river, and they split up the train. Some of the cars go either to Grayling or Alpena, and what they do, they switch out the train. They usually put two motors on the train to Alpena, and they usually put two to three motors on the one to west, one to Grayling, because they got a rather steep grade called Sterling Hill, and another hill called West Ranch Hill is a 9-mile ruling grade, so they need the horsepower for the tonnage. Because I used to, when I first started as a brakeman, the old hog told me 1 ton per horsepower. A ton per horsepower. So if you had a 13,000 ton train, you need 13,000 horsepower. But of course, that's the old Alco. So that's what they usually do. They do split it up, Ron, and one train goes to Alpena, and the other one goes to up by Grayling. It actually goes to a place called 4 Mile Road. The GP and Warehouser got that big plant up there right off of I-75.
All right, that explains it. Yeah, I've just, like I said, there weren't that many cars behind it, but to see five locomotives on it, I said, well, not sure what they're pulling or where they're going, but yeah, that explains it then, to do that. And I sent a text to my friend, like I said, he's a big railroad buff, and he's traveled all over to take railroad pictures and had several of them published. Before on online sites, the one time he submitted like 200 pictures and only five of them they took for publication that met their criteria for clarity and scenic and all of this stuff. So, yeah, he never got back to me kind of to why, but yeah, he would be familiar with all of that too. So that's good. Yeah, I had to wait through it this morning and kind of like, where is the end of this thing? And of course, there's no, all they got is the deadhead at the end of it, the little blinky light, and that's it to tell them where the end of the train is, that it's still hooked up, I guess. But the old cabooses are long, as Ernie Harwell would say, they're long gone. KC8YVF.
Casey, that's still Friday. Yeah, you're right there, Mr. Ron, you're right there. Now, Lakey does have two cabooses. And one move they had, they got to do a shoving move instead of down south. Instead of a four brakeman riding on the back of the train in the bad weather, he's got a shoving platform so he can step inside out of the inclement weather. But they do have two cabooses. But yeah, since the late 80s, railroads started phasing out cabooses, and they have a fret called flashing rear-end device. And the railroad men have another alternate, but I can't really broadcast it on the air, hi. But that Fred can do a lot of things. Tell you that if it's moving or stopped, the air pressure on the back of the train, and also in telemetry to it, if it feels anything wrong, like any shaking and rattling, other than just going down the track, it can communicate to the engineer with what they call a head-in device. But yeah, that's what they use now. But an old friend of mine, he's passed away, he said, we had the caboose, we could watch our train, because that rear end device can't tell you if you're on the ground.
Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.